From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns will conclude his first message in a series of studies explaining the basic teachings of each of the books of the New Testament. The focus in this message is the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew portrays Christ as Israel's promised king, and a unique feature of his gospel is the emphasis upon the kingdom of heaven. Dr. Cairns has stressed that the kingdom of heaven includes both Jews and Gentiles. In this gospel, both John the Baptist and Christ laid great emphasis upon repentance, a necessary step in the salvation of sinners. The meaning of the kingdom has been a subject of some controversy over the years. Essentially, it is the reign of Christ, both on earth and in heaven. It is by the preaching of the Word of God that the meaning of the kingdom is made clear. We'll see that the mystery of the kingdom is shown in the activity of God's grace, for every aspect of the individual Christian life, as well as of the church, depends upon grace. Finally, the majesty of the kingdom is displayed in the King himself, in his atoning death, his glorious resurrection and ascension to heaven, his commissioning of his servants, and his triumphant return. Dr. Cairns will conclude this message entitled Christ the King of Israel in just a few minutes. Before he comes, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled Unstaggering Trustfulness. The text is found in Psalm 112 and verse 7. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Suspense is dreadful. When we have no news from home, we are apt to grow anxious, and we cannot be persuaded that no news is good news. Faith is the cure for this condition of sadness. The Lord, by His Spirit, settles the mind in holy serenity, and all fear is gone as to the future as well as the present. The fixedness of heart spoken of by the psalmist is to be diligently sought after. It is not believing this or that promise of the Lord, but the general condition of unstaggering trustfulness in our God, the confidence which we have in Him, that He will neither do us ill Himself, nor suffer anyone else to harm us. This constant confidence meets the unknown as well as the known of life. Let the morrow be what it may, our God is the God of tomorrow. Whatever events may have happened, which to us are unknown, our Jehovah is God of the unknown as well as of the known. We are determined to trust the Lord, come what may. If the very worst should happen, our God is still the greatest and best. Therefore will we not fear, though the postman's knock should startle us, or a telegram wake us at midnight. The Lord liveth, and what can His children fear?
Oh,
was a number of years ago that Dr. Alan Cairns preached these messages in which he explains the teaching of each of the New Testament books. These messages let you get a grasp of the heart of the New Testament's teaching and show you how relevant it is to your life in the modern world. This series was published in a book entitled A Sure Foundation, a book which tells you how to live in the light of the gospel, in the freedom of faith, and not in the gloom of guilt and frustration. This is not another how-to book of self-help tips. Its constant theme is the acceptance believers have with God because of the imputation of Christ's righteousness to them, which is the heart of the gospel. Let the Bible Speak has obtained a limited number of copies of this publication, and we're happy to make them available to our listening audience. The price for each copy of A Sure Foundation is $10, which includes shipping. You may have a copy by sending your check for $10 made out to Let the Bible Speak to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, supplies of A Sure Foundation are very limited. Be sure to request your copy today.
The kingdom of God is among you, Jesus said. It's here and now. In the sense that we are now under his rule. We are now the recipients of his grace. We are now delivered from the power of sin and Satan. We are now walking in the light. We are now in fellowship with God. We are now justified. Paul says, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It is righteousness. It is peace. It is joy in the Holy Ghost. Those are things that we now have. The righteousness of justification. The peace of reconciliation. The joy of glorious exaltation in Jesus Christ. I tell you, my friend, the kingdom is now. But the kingdom is yet to come. Why? Because the King is coming. Somebody wrote a hymn about that in the last 20 years. Actually, it gets a little mixed up in its theology, and it's more nice words than having any particular meaning. But the first time I heard it, I have to be honest, I didn't think through all the theology of what he was saying or the self-contradictory notions that he was putting into his words. I heard a man with a tremendous voice and then backed up by a great choir, and they were singing, the King is coming. And my, that swept my heart away. And I have to say that I have never forgotten the thrill of the realization afresh, the King is coming. And I want to tell you, it's only when the King comes that the kingdom, the future kingdom, is realized. You've an awful lot of rubbish talked about people who are going to build the kingdom on earth. The liberals talked about it. Some post-millennial brethren talked about it. They were going to build the kingdom of God by what they did. This is no mere humanistic heaven. The kingdom is submission to the rule of Christ, and then entrance into the presence of Christ, and then Christ himself coming to rule in the world. So the preaching of the kingdom expounds what we mean by it. The principles of the kingdom explain what we mean by it. Now here, I'm just going to make a statement or two that I hope you'll think about. The Sermon on the Mount is for today. Chapter 5, 6, and 7 of Matthew. And in that fifth chapter, Jesus makes an amazing statement. Verse 20, except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom. Now this is vital. How can my righteousness exceed the righteousness of a man who fasts twice in the week, gives the tithe of all that he possesses, knew the law of God down to its smallest detail, and would go to the death in order to fulfill every detail that he thought of in the law of God? How can my righteousness exceed that? Well, listen, the principle is righteousness. Aye, but listen, the principle is reality. Now, this cuts very close not only to the Pharisees, but to the professing Christians of Greenville. Reality, not externality. In Matthew 23, Jesus criticized the Pharisees. He says, you make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but inside, ah, it's a different story inside. You remember the prophet Ezekiel got the vision, and the Lord brought him to the temple in vision. He brought him to the temple in Jerusalem. And he brought him right inside into the chambers of imagery. And there, hidden behind the facade of the worship of Jehovah, there were the images of idols, and there were the filthiness and the ungodliness of idol worship. I wonder how many churches in Greenville this morning and how many people in Greenville this morning are so described of God. They have the righteousness of the Pharisee. They're clean on the outside, but inside it's corruption and filth and Christlessness and ungodliness. The rest of the Sermon on the Mount is really just applying that. Time forbids that I give you a detailed statement of that. But let me tell you, what the kingdom of Christ demands is heart religion. Does it really work? Well, the power of the kingdom expresses what we mean by the kingdom of God. This is not just a theory, not a theology. In chapter 8 of Matthew, for instance, there was a leper came to Christ. And then there was a centurion came about his servant sick of the palsy. And in both cases, the Lord Jesus immediately healed them. Now, you don't just speak to a leper and like that he's healed. You don't simply say to a centurion, your servant is healed, and even though he's nowhere near you in the vicinity, he is immediately healed from that hour. That's not within the power of man to do. That's not within the power of religion to do. I mean, all these charismatic people who are claiming they do this and this and this, they're bringing shame and dishonor in the name of Christ. When they wheel in the wheelchairs, they wheel them out again. There's nobody nobody. I don't care what these lying prophets are claiming. There is nobody that they get out of their wheelchair unless they've been able to get out of it anyway. But that wasn't the case with Jesus Christ. When the leper came, he was instantaneously healed. When the palsied man, I'm talking, palsy, you know, to us, it's just a word. You're talking about somebody who is totally paralyzed. These are not people who say, I got healed of a headache. Or I had the sniffles and I woke up the next morning and they were gone. Glorious miracle. This is a totally paralyzed man. And with one word from the Son of God, he's healed. And Jesus immediately turns it to the idea of the kingdom. You see, here's the power of the kingdom. It's a message of salvation. Because, you know, the miracles of Christ were sermons. You may not be a leper in the flesh, but you're a leper in the spirit. If you're out of Christ. You may not be paralyzed in the flesh, but you're totally paralyzed spiritually. There is no strength in the man without Christ. There is no ability in the man without Christ. There is no power to do anything to save a soul. But I want to tell you, the word, Martin Luther said, one little word from God will slay the devil. How right he was. The word of the king is enough to set you free. The power of the kingdom. It's a message of salvation. And thank God it's a message of prophecy. We were singing in our opening paraphrase from Isaiah 2, behold, the mountain of the Lord in latter days shall rise. That's speaking of the millennial glory of Christ. Isaiah 11 speaks of it. We were thinking of this also in our singing. When they beat their swords into plowshares. And then when the lion will lie down with the lamb. That's not figurative merely. That, my friend, is an era the like of which the world has never seen since the initial creation. That's the message of the power of the kingdom. Chapter 13 speaks of the mystery of the kingdom. In the parables, it's a mystery of grace. Here's the mystery of the kingdom. You don't get it. You don't get into this kingdom by being born an American or by being born an Ulster man. There are often these great movements for God and country, and I'm quite in agreement with being for God and country as long as the country is for God. But never mix up being an American with being a Christian. Be as proud as you wish of your American heritage, as I am of my British. But neither being a Briton nor an American will put you in the kingdom of God. It's grace that will put you there. Jesus tells the story of a seed planted in the ground. And God nurtures it, brings life. Salvation's by grace. Then there's the mystery of growth. The mustard seed so small, but it grows. Do you ever see a soul saved by grace? All the elements of the world and of hell are against him. His home circumstances may be rotten. His physical circumstances may be terrible. His financial circumstances may be awful. But yet, spiritual life grows and grows and grows. That's a mystery. Christ in you. That's the key to the mystery. And then you look at the church. When God planted the church, the New Testament church, on the day of Pentecost, I mean, who would ever have thought that men would have been talking about it 50 years hence? No, just a bunch of Jews. Who are they? Nobody's. But that mustard seed grew. That leaven began to penetrate. And soon it reached the world. Growth. And it's still growing. and the growth leads to glory. Jesus talks in Matthew 13 about being harvested for heaven, and in Matthew 25 of inheriting the kingdom. Here's the mystery. What a mystery. That I was born a sinner. I was found by the King wallowing in my own blood on the road to hell. But the King spoke grace, gave growth, and brings me to glory. What a place heaven's going to be when we inherit the fullness of the kingdom. I can't imagine any man rejecting the King of Kings for the pleasures of the world, but they do it. I can't imagine any man saying, here's a fortune of earth, and therefore I will continue a rebel against the King. Because these things are but for a moment, and the kingdom is forever. Make sure you're going home to glory. That leads me to the last statement about the majesty of the kingdom. Here's the majesty. The King died. The majesty of the kingdom is the cross of Jesus Christ. It's majestic love. It's a majestic atonement. Then the King rose again, breaking the bonds of death and bursting the powers of hell. And then the King ascended, where he heard the word of the Father, sit thou on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. And the King commissioned his heralds. That's what gospel preachers are. Heralds of the King who has come and is soon to come again. For thank God, I return to the theme of that hymn. The King is coming. Think of the words of Revelation 11 and verse 15. These will soon be brought to pass. The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdom of our God and of His Christ. So I want you to think of this. The Lord Jesus now rules in grace on earth, and He's soon going to rule in glory, even here on earth. But remember, grace must precede glory. Never forget it. Grace must precede glory. And unless you're a subject of Christ in grace, you will never be a subject of Christ in glory. Let me tie it all up with three sentences. Enter the kingdom today. That is repentance. Enter the kingdom by repentance. Then experience or enjoy the kingdom in righteousness. And then finally, be an evangelist. Extend the kingdom by recruitment of others. Take this gospel of the kingdom, of the King who has come and is coming again, and go to a world that's lying in the kingdom of darkness and sin, and tell them the truth. Plead with them to be saved. Recruit them for Christ, and God will bless the sincere efforts of sincere saints and bring poor sinners to Jesus. May we indeed learn the message of Matthew. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.